Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Our scripture today is Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, and it's on hope, keeping hope in Christ. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting, God the creator of all the ends of earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thank you, Ross. The flowers over here are in honor of Orville. They were here for his funeral, so I just thought I'd point that out. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day that we have come and to worship you. Lord, I pray that your name will be lifted up today, not only in our minds and in our hearts, but in our lives. And we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be spending a lot of time in all of Scripture today. And so if you have your Bibles, I would just like it if you just follow along. We're going to start in Philippians, and this is labeled as the text for the day, although we'll probably won't mention it again after I read it. So, but it's the text that I want to start with, and talking about hope today. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So the reason why I picked that text as our main text today is that those of us, and I'm sure there's many, myself included, go through life with kind of a sour attitude. You know, this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me, but I'm going to present to you today that if we simply bring our request to God with thanksgiving, He will give us hope. He will give us hope. Not just to go through life, although we need that, but for eternal life as well. I have an illustration here from my Nelson Book of Illustrations, and it's called New Beginnings. It was mentioned to me this week that I read too many illustrations from Chuck Swindoll. That's not why I'm picking this one. You know, I love baby noises. It's good to see you guys. It was mentioned that I read too much from Chuck Swindoll, so I'm going to read from a Nelson book, but I quite honestly, I don't pick one over the other. I just simply find a good illustration of what I want to talk about, just so you know that. New beginnings. Proverbs 26:16 says, "No matter how often an honest man falls, he always gets up again. The first person to invent the wheel only discovered what God had already designed for the Lord. Created things in circles. The stars and planets are round and they move in orbital circles. And life, as a result, moves in cycles. Every 100 years, we have a new century. Every 365 days, we have a what? New year. Every 24 hours, we have a new day. Every 60 minutes, we have a new hour." So God created the potential for new beginnings into every design in our universe. And for good reason, Every hero in Scripture needs new beginnings, right? Adam and Eve, after they ate the forbidden fruit. Moses, after killing the Egyptian. David, after his adulterous relationship. Elijah, after an emotional breakdown in the desert. The disciples, after Good Friday. Although it wasn't called Good Friday then, but certainly they needed God to start, give them a new, fresh beginning. And especially Peter, after denying his Lord. So today, maybe you need a fresh, new beginning. You know, some people wake up in the morning and they say, "Good morning, Lord." And other people wake up and they say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Which one are you? Which one are you? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving. And our hearts ought to be thankful. But I know that in a group this size, there is so much pain. Lord, for those of us in the winter area, we know that we have lost so many people in this last year, so many loved ones. And so it's hard to lose hope. So I pray that this message today will speak to every heart here. And we trust that you will do that for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what's the question you ask when you come across somebody else? Drell, how are you doing? Right? Ruth, how are you doing? Fine. Donna, how are you doing? We usually, I got two Donnas right here. I can look one way and get two Donnas. It's usually just a greeting, right? Just a greeting. And we usually respond with the way that we feel, right? We usually respond with the way that we feel. That's pretty good. And then on most emails or Facebook, you can add the little face, right? That either has a frown or a smile or with a teeth showing, big grin. I want to propose to you something today that might be a little bit foreign to a lot of us. So many times we let our emotions run our lives. The way we think, what we do, all of that, our emotions simply get in the way. And most of you know that one of my favorite texts, and I've mentioned it many, many, many times, is 1 John 3:16 through 18. And here's what it says: We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. This text describes that love is an action word. It's not, we don't love simply by feeling. I feel that I love you. Or in today's world, it's, I don't feel like I love you anymore, so we're going to end this relationship. Love is a verb, and it describes action. In the same way, we must also look at our decision-making paradigm. I love that word. Paradigm. What's it mean? It's a model. And the rest of the world says that we make decisions on the way we feel or on facts, right? But I'm suggesting today a different model, that runs our life on faith first. Faith first. Our model is going to be a train. We have the engine, we have a middle car, and we have the caboose. And the engine is what pushes us. It's what motivates us. It's our paradigm. It's our decision-making paradigm. And not based on feelings or emotion, but based on what? Faith. And then facts, and then feelings. Or sometimes we base it on facts, and then feelings, and then faith. And they get switched around. Oh, yeah, that's a good picture. And it even moves. Tell you what, they can get creative, can't they? So in most situations, we base our life on feelings, and our lives get derailed. They get derailed if we base our life on feelings. A lot of times, also, we base our lives on facts. Right? Am I wrong? We base our life on what we know to be true. But if we base our life on what we know to be true all the time, as believers in Jesus Christ, then our faith life and our relationship with Jesus will be compromised. We leave Jesus out of the picture, and the supernatural and the hope of eternal life is left out because it doesn't make sense, does it? There's a couple of facts that I do want you to keep in the back of your mind, however. I want you to lead your life with faith and then facts and then feelings. But I want you to keep two facts in mind as I'm saying this. First of all, it's found in Hebrews 11:1, which talks about faith being, can anybody help me? Huh? Faith is not seen. It's not visible. It's not obvious to us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We do not follow God on blind faith. We trust in Him for what He's done for us and what He's proved to be. We know for certain that God has created the universe, and so God has the power to create, and He creates in us a new spirit. And so we follow Him. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Also, another fact that I want you to keep in the back of your mind. Jesus knows our struggle. How many of you have ever struggled at least once in your life? Come on, everybody. Raise your hand. Yeah, we all go through struggles, don't we? Listen to what Jesus knows. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." And then Isaiah 53 also talks about Jesus. "Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrow He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions, and He was crushed for our iniquities. he chastened for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. So the fact is, Jesus cares about us. The fact is that faith comes by hearing God's word. But it's unseen. So these are all facts that I want you to keep in there, in the back of your head, and then move toward God through faith. Faith, facts, and then feelings. Faith. Acts 16:31. I should ask an Awana student. Acts 16:31. I'm not going to. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And again, Romans 10:9-10. We talked about this just a few weeks ago, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So many times faith doesn't make sense, does it? Does it make sense all the time? In our world, most of life doesn't make sense. Certainly faith. I want to talk a little bit about Nicodemus and read his story in John chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. Nicodemus brought up a very important question on faith. Doesn't make sense. John 3, verses 1 through 5. So now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you come from God as a teacher. For no one who does the signs that you do, unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, listen to this. Unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Does that even make sense? How can you be born again? Humanly speaking. Huh? It's impossible. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Oh, I turn older tomorrow. Yeah. He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born. Can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born again, born physically and born spiritually. You need to be born again. But that doesn't make sense in the factual world of our day. We need to use faith. Faith needs to come first here, and then the facts follow, and then your feelings we put on the back burner. We better get back to hope, huh? It's our Sunday on hope. Here's our hope. Listen carefully. Jesus Christ came that first time as a baby from heaven. He came to an unwed young lady who was a virgin. Jesus grew up at the age of 30. He started his ministry among people, and only to have them turn on him 3 years later. And then they crucified him. 3 days after that, he was raised from the dead. Does that make sense? Certainly not, if you're looking at facts. But if you're looking at faith, Jesus was the perfect lamb. Died for who? For us. That we might have eternal life. First Thessalonians, I would like all of you to turn here if you have your Bibles. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. This probably could have been our text for the day, but I had to pick only one. So we threw it in the sermon. Here it is, right at the very end. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. Don't grieve as one who has no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what I'm going to do when Jesus comes back and I'm still here living on this earth and I'm caught into the air to meet him and all of the saints that have gone before me? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab a sinner by the collar and drag him with me. And I'm going to say, confess your sins right now or I'm going to let you go. We who are here when Jesus comes to take us home are going to be caught together in the air. Amen? I can't wait. That's our hope. That's our hope. It doesn't make sense. We can't go to the encyclopedia or we can't go to Wikipedia and type it in. It doesn't make sense in our world of facts. But if we move into the world of faith, that's when it makes sense. That's when it makes sense. So put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, he's going to come back and take us home to live with him forever and ever. Amen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy or excellent, think about those things. And then our benediction today, Psalm 130, verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. Amen. Have a good week.